I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I am impressed that some of you know what island I vacationed on. It's only 6 square miles, a private island where you could only be out there if you were either an owner of a place or you were a guest of someone. And I used Airbnb, my first time ever using Airbnb for a vacation, and it was really cool. So I'm not going to reveal it yet. So many of you asked me, where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? So I thought it would be fun to kind of give you some clues. And some of you have nailed it. Some of you are really close, but not quite the exact point. I really love history. And so this was a great area for history. I'll give you another hint. It was near Beaufort, South Carolina. Okay, so that's the general area for those of you who are still guessing. One of the neat things about this particular city is that even though it was a city in the South, it was not a city or an area that was burned down by General Sherman during the Civil War. You may remember, if you know your Civil War history, that General Sherman essentially cut a swath through the South, burning everything in his path when the Union troops were moving through. The reason he didn't burn Beaufort is because it had been taken over by the Union Navy. And so it was actually a stronghold for the North. And so instead of burning it down, that's where the Union troops were sent to hospitals. And that's where they were controlling this particular area as one of their strongholds in the South to help them win the war. And so kind of an amazing piece of the history is that all the Southerners left. All of the mansion and landowners and plantation owners in this city, in this area, left when the Union Navy came storming in and grabbed the port. And they just abandoned their homes and obviously left their slaves behind. So Beaufort is one of the first areas in the entire U.S. where slaves were emancipated and where they were set free. So as soon as the Union Navy took over, 10,000 slaves were freed. And because the Southern landowners had abandoned their properties, a lot of these properties went to auction, and these freed slaves who were now able to purchase land themselves, they secured properties for pennies on the dollar. And because the Union wanted them to be educated about how to be plantation owners and farm owners and make a profit at farming, they built what's called the Penn Center. You can look it up. It's one of the first schools ever for emancipated slaves, and it's still a museum now. So I went by it and saw it, and really cool, took some pictures. But yeah, one of the first places in our United States where slaves were educated, freed slaves were educated, and were able to become landowners and have their own homes and farms, and just an awesome piece of history there. And so that was really neat too. And but one of the reasons why there's so much preserved from pre-Civil War, churches and forts and other historic buildings that were used as hospitals, is because General Sherman didn't burn it down, because it was his own Navy that was there during the Civil War. So he left all of the homes and the buildings standing. He didn't destroy it. And so because of that, there's so much that's preserved there that's pretty incredible. So yeah, that's the general area. I've given you lots of clues. But thanks for looking at the videos that I put on Facebook and Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I was yapping during the commercial break. I blame Ben. And so I haven't put up more pictures on Facebook, but I will. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We've been talking a bunch about the Western Conference finals between the Rockets and the Warriors, and complete about face, not just for Steph Curry, but for the Warriors themselves in terms of their attention to defense, their intensity on defense, their aggressiveness. And a lot of that comes from being home, for sure. But we've seen this from the Warriors all year. When they choose to focus on the defense, when they choose to make it a priority, when they choose to use the same intensity on both ends of the court, this is what it looks like. This is exactly what it looks like, regardless of the opponent. So we've had this weird kind of flip-flop now from a blow. I mean, I don't know if I'd call a 13-point margin of a victory a blowout. I don't think I'd say game one was a blowout, but it was a double-figure win. Then we had a blowout by the Rockets in game two and a massive historic blowout in game three. So if you missed it, it's the largest margin of victory ever for the Warriors in their playoff history and the largest margin of defeat for the Rockets in their illustrious postseason history. 41 points. That's to me, it's even hard to comprehend that a playoff game between the top two teams in a conference, two of the top teams in the NBA all season, could be 41 points. But it's just one game. What did Trevor Ariza say? Whether you lose by two or you lose by 200, it's just one game. So now thinking about the Eastern Conference, kind of through that same lens, the Celtics run away with the opener and really stun a lot of people. This was a game that went all the way back to last Sunday, right? So last Sunday night when I was on vacation. And they win by 25. And they essentially make the Cleveland Cavaliers look like what they had looked like pre-Raptors series, which was a one-man band. LeBron James didn't actually play that well in that first game. And so in that particular opener, because there wasn't any help from anywhere else, you actually had the Cavaliers scoring in the teens in three of the four quarters. Their offense was non-existent. Just, it was so bad. They were abysmal from three. And because LeBron James wasn't his normal self, because he wasn't allowed to roam free and because there was no help from anyone else, the defense for Boston could focus on him. The Cavaliers looked hapless. They literally looked pre-Toronto Raptors series. Like, if you can shut down LeBron or contain LeBron, you've got this in the bag. So that one was the opener. Then, of course, in game two, the Celtics were able to win it, but only by 13. Right. So it wasn't the monster game one win, but it was still a double figure victory. So then they get back to Cleveland. They take a few days off, 3 days off, as a matter of fact. They get back to Cleveland and boom, the Celtics look like a completely different team. Al Horford doesn't take a shot in the first quarter. I mean, just odd. It wasn't what we've seen from the Celtics during this particular postseason. It was really only one game or one guy who played well. But to a man, the Celtics said, we weren't aggressive enough. We let our guard down, so to speak. And they were out of sync. So they are adamant now that you're going to see the effort from them in game number four. That's the Celtics side of things. On the Cleveland side of things, though, For Cavaliers fans, I think it was really evident that the full team effort was back in game number three, right? So it wasn't just LeBron James. And this is what we've talked about. It can't be just LeBron. Whether it's the Cavaliers, whether it's the greatest player on the planet, one guy cannot beat one good team, and in the postseason, one guy cannot carry you to a series win, especially not at this level, not when the teams are this good. So I'd love to hear your reaction, but that's what kind of stood out to me, is that the way the series started, you had the complete opposite of what we had seen in that sweep of the Toronto Raptors, which was that it was all hands on deck. It was everybody contributing. It was everybody participating. It wasn't just LeBron, because they're not going to win that way. But then, like I said, you move forward, and now the Cavaliers are kind of, it's not quite as drastic as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I wouldn't say it was like that, but we pretty much figured out the key, right? Because the Cavaliers aren't a great defensive team. They're not. I mean, LeBron James is a phenomenal defender. We know that. And George Hill is a serviceable two-way player, right? Tristan Thompson, He did start in game number three. So you see Ty Lue pulling that weapon out of his bag and kind of going back to that the way that he did previously in the postseason. All right, so there are guys who can defend, but let's be honest, that's not their forte. So what they need is offensive production from everywhere because that keeps their opponents off balance. And so what you got from the Cavaliers in game number three, six different guys in double figures. That includes Kyle Korver, who came off the bench because Thompson started. A LeBron James who had a dozen assists. So he's setting up his teammates and they're taking advantage. All your starters end up with at least 10 points. They end up out-rebounding the Celtics by 11. And they were fairly good with the basketball. Right, so it was the way the Cavaliers have to win. I don't think they're as multidimensional as, say, the Warriors are. Right, they're not going to beat you a variety of ways. The Warriors can beat you a variety of ways because of the talent that they have and because of the different looks that we see from them, the versatility. They can beat you a bunch of ways. The Cavaliers aren't going to do that. The way they beat you is to get a Kevin Love double-double, to go along with a near triple-double from LeBron James, to get a bunch of offensive rebounds, to make sure that everybody's touching the ball, to hit threes, right? So in game number three, what did they do? They hit half of their triples. They were 17 of 34 from downtown. But honestly, now, I was listening to the game on the radio because I was driving at the time. Honestly, the way the game started, just the first quarter alone, you wondered if the Celtics were going to be able to stem the tide. Right out of the gate, you saw the power and the ability of the Cavaliers' offense. And the Celtics just didn't have anybody. They weren't aggressive enough, and they looked like they got slapped in the face and just kind of turned the other cheek, like, okay, here, slap the other one. There was no fight back, and typically you do see fight back from the Celtics because of the way they're coached, because of their leadership. So we'll see. I mean, the Cavaliers are more one-dimensional, but they've gotten this far playing that way, plus they've got LeBron James. So I'd love to hear what you think. I feel like this is a little flavor of last year's postseason where we ended up with all of these blowouts at the end of the year. Remember? I mean, it's not like we didn't have the superstars and the storylines, but still the blowouts. Come on, give me a game seven that goes down to the wire and has a buzzer beater. Instead, right now, we've got no games that are single digits. Now, I don't know that it's going to hurt the NBA. So far, the playoff ratings have been awesome. It's continued the trend that took place in the regular season. But 41 points isn't going to keep a team, isn't going to keep a fan base watching until the very end. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I love your guesses about the island on which I vacationed. And then you can find me on Facebook, too. So I promise during this break, I will put up some more pictures on Facebook, some of my favorites. I made a new friend named Jack. He's not just handsome. He's also tall and loves the water and marches to the beat of his own drummer. So I'll put his picture up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I can't decide if this is a big story or not, so you have to tell me. The fact that Johnny Manziel is signed up now to play in the CFL, is that a big story? For those of you who are maybe fans of Texas A&M or SEC football, or just Johnny Manziel fans, or maybe you're a fan of the Hamilton River Cats. If that's the case, you're probably not thrilled that he doesn't actually know where that is in Canada. I assume he's going to learn. That would seem like an important piece of information. But yeah, tell me, is this a big story? Is this news? Is it news every time a former NFL player signs in the CFL. I mean, you know, we don't talk a lot of CFL on the show. We hardly talk any CFL on the show. Really, the only football that we talk is NFL and college football. Every now and then we talk the other football, which is soccer, but we don't talk a lot of CFL. And so I've kind of gone back and forth on this. Yes, he's getting back into football, which is a good first step if he really has any hopes at all of resuming his NFL career, which I don't know if that's, it's not probable. It's unlikely. It's improbable. And I would be surprised if it did happen, not if it didn't. But this is a big first step. So you wonder if potentially his agent has put out feelers and kind of gotten the idea that Manziel's not getting, I don't want to say he's not getting any looks, because he certainly did have some NFL teams that showed up to the different pro days where he was throwing. But maybe that was more out of curiosity. Right now would actually be the time. See, this is the part that I kind of come back to. Now would be the time that there would be a roster, well, not a roster spot, but that there would be a deal for him to work out in the summertime, to go to spring training, to go to training camp. I mean, this would be the time because teams can bring in a ton of extra guys and don't have to do their cuts until much later in the year. So if there isn't a team right now that's willing to give him a spot and a look and have him spend time with them in voluntary or mandatory workouts to go through OTAs, if there's no NFL team that's willing to do it right now, that certainly makes it even less likely that there would be a team that's interested in bringing him to training camp. So I don't know. Is this a big story? You let me know. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I did post some pictures. I'm now trying to rearrange the pictures on Facebook. I don't know. Facebook annoys me. That's why I didn't spend any time at all when I was on vacation. I had no Wi-Fi. And certainly my phone had a signal, but I just chose to stay off of social media because the Facebook algorithms bother me to no end. And I can never figure out how to arrange the pictures and, yeah, just all kinds of stuff that it really first world problems. Actually, that's not true. My friends in Cuba, they're big time on Facebook. In fact, that's how I communicate with all of them. And so they are constantly posting pictures and they just post one picture per post. And so it's like all of a sudden they have Wi-Fi for a short period of time and they're about 60 posts with a few pictures. Anyway, so the pictures are up on Facebook. I'm trying to edit them a little bit, but they're up there. At least some of my favorite pictures from my vacation last week, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, or on Twitter. Or our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. So that was one piece of football news. I mean, it is actually football, so okay. One piece of football news that Johnny Manziel announced that he's getting back into football. He didn't do a whole lot at the first day of Tiger Cats camp, but he's there. He's got a contract. He's there, and he's playing football again, which I think is the most important thing. What is it that Bill Belichick says, the drop that we always use? I don't know how you get better at playing football if you don't play football. Well, now he has the chance to play football. The other piece of football news that kind of grabbed my attention, I'm sure was a big story last week, was the Falcons and Julio Jones now kind of, I don't want to say being on opposite sides, but there being something to resolve between their star wide receiver and the franchise. I mean, you can certainly understand, I won't speak for you, I can understand why Julio Jones would want a new contract, right? The Falcons have already paid out all the cash that they owe him. So at this point, there's no more guaranteed money, unless, of course, you're talking about the particular season that he's in, right? But there's no more signing bonus left to be prorated. There's no more guaranteed money that they have to owe him. Regardless of what happens, those are the kinds of cash payouts that the players want, right? Regardless of whether or not a team keeps you or cuts you, when they do it, you still have money coming to you. Well, the Falcons could now cut Julio without any real cap hit because they've already paid out their cash. This was a huge extension that he signed back in 2015 for 5 years and $71.25 million. It was huge for back then, right? Since then, he's got more yards than any receiver in the NFL. More yards than any receiver in the NFL since he signed that extension. So yeah, why not? Why wouldn't you want a new deal? Why wouldn't you want an extension? And I feel like it's the right move for the Falcons too. I know last year he didn't have very many touchdowns. Now, I wasn't listening to radio in Atlanta last year, but Ben told me that he was getting killed in Atlanta because there's a chance, the reports are that he might hold out, not report to the next set of OTAs if he doesn't get a new deal, or he might hold out of training camp if he doesn't get a new deal. And Atlanta Falcons fans have an issue with that, a major issue?
Yeah, their issue is that they think that what he wants, the production doesn't match it. Their issue is he only had 3 touchdowns last year, and they're saying, you want an extension, why don't you get the ball in the end zone?
Huh. So why don't you take the snap instead of Matt Ryan and run it into the end zone, throw it to yourself, as a matter of fact, like Giselle suggested not that long ago.
Or call the plays.
Tom Brady should throw it and catch it himself. Yeah, see, I understand why, but let's not forget that Julio also gets the number one DB plus more double teams. At times you're talking about guys that are deep and guys that are underneath, plus the guy that's assigned to stick to him like glue. That's why I really like the Calvin Ridley draft pick for the Atlanta Falcons, because you now have a bookend. You now have another guy that should take away some of the double teams for Julio. He still had a ton of yardage last year. What, 1,400 yards? He's extremely productive. But yeah, he's not the one throwing the ball, and he's certainly not the one calling the plays, as Ben points out. So he can only score touchdowns, and I'm not suggesting he didn't have more than these 3 opportunities, but you can only score so many if you're not getting the ball. If the Falcons would like to trade him, or if the Falcons are interested in letting him go, I feel like my team should be the first one in line. Like, I'll take him. When is the last time you heard Julio Jones being an issue too? I mean, this guy he's a pro. He goes to work. He takes care of his business. He's productive. He's amazing physical specimen. Yeah. I'll take him in my locker room and on my football field if the Falcons are interested. Do the deal. All right, so Johnny Manziel, big story or not with the Hamilton River Cats? Will that make you watch more Hamilton River Cats football? I'm sorry, just saying that made me laugh.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Some of you are upset at me for calling them the Hamilton River Cats. That's my response to that. Get upset if you must. The River Cats are in Sacramento. The Tiger Cats are in Hamilton. But I don't understand what a Tiger Cat is. Nor do I understand what a River Cat is, actually. Whatever. If it makes you tweet me, then that's all cool. It's fine and dandy. Some of you are pretty up in arms about it, though. I mean, I told you we don't cover a lot of the CFL or AAA baseball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. We did our research, though. The Sacramento River Cats are now the San Francisco Giants affiliate and just played a series with Salt Lake over the weekend. The Hamilton Tiger Cats have acquired Johnny Manziel, and I want to know from you whether or not that's a big story, because I can't decide. I don't think it is, but I'm kind of thinking about how many other guys who've joined the CFL that I've ever talked about on the show. Crickets, exactly. Is it a big story because it's Johnny Manziel? You tell me. A-Law Radio is where you can find me. Let's see. Joshua says, not a big Manziel fan. I'm a fan of success stories of people with amazing talent going from misguided and lost to a hero. All right. So, I mean, I don't use the word hero generally for sports because it's not, it's just entertainment. It's not life or death. But that could apply to Johnny Manziel. Misguided and lost certainly applied to him at some point in the not too distant past. And he does have some talent. Now, the debate still rages is too strong. The debate's still ongoing about if he has NFL quality talent. We never really got to find the answer to that question. But there certainly could be a redemption story. That's what Joshua was saying. It could be a redemption story. Steve says on Twitter, here in Hamilton, Johnny Football is a pretty big story for the Tiger Cats, not the River Cats. I mean, maybe you got something there. Maybe you need to explore the idea of, unless, of course, Sacramento won't allow you to use their name. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners or renters or motorcycle insurance to go along with your car insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Billy is listening in Toronto. Billy, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
How are you, Amy? Long time since I've called you, but I'll weigh in on this topic. First of all, don't get upset about calling them the River Cats. We have two teams in this league called the Rough Riders, if you can believe that. How did you...
Two teams in the same league?
We have the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Ottawa Rough Riders, if you can believe that. I mean, nine teams in the league, and you guys couldn't have thought of different... different names, so don't get upset, Amy.
No, I'm not. Can you tell I'm not at all?
No, I know you're not. Amy, listen, Hamilton is about half an hour from Toronto, and it's in between Toronto and let's say Buffalo, New York. And mm-hmm. I know your last tweeter or last whoever emailed you said that it's a big story in Hamilton. Well, it's certainly not a big story in Toronto. Got like half a page of a write up now. A lot of CFL players have NFL players' rights in case they want to come over here, or college players, and it's never, mm-hmm. ever a big deal. Johnny Manziel coming up here, you know, we've had Doug Flutie back in the day.
Sure.
We had Johnny Rogers when he won the Heisman out of Nebraska, and Vince Ferragamo. Those were bigger stories than Johnny Manziel. As for resurrecting his career, hey, listen, if he comes up here and has a year or two good years. I mean, let's face it. He's probably been the best quarterback Cleveland's had in the last, you know, the number of quarterbacks that they've had there. I mean, he did put some good drives together and looked like he could play in the NFL. So if he comes up here, it's a bigger field. He can run, extra player on the field. You don't get as many downs. You only get three downs. But I really think that he comes up here. The most important thing is if he gets his head straight. If he gets his head straight, shows up all the time, not being late for practice, just does his thing, I think he goes back to the NFL, and I think he can be a good quarterback. I really believe that. Thanks,
well,
Amy.
We'll see. Thanks so much, Billy. I appreciate you weighing in from Toronto. I don't know that is the case. I don't think we've had enough of a sample size. Now, granted, when he had his first shot at the NFL, he did not take it seriously. But he was also a first-round pick, which meant that Cleveland had a lot invested in him and gave him every opportunity, multiple chances to start. They tried to set him up for success, and it still didn't help. Now, when he got on the football field, you can certainly question his preparation. If his preparation was better, would that mean that he might be better equipped to succeed in the league? Sure. But I don't know that takes away some of the fundamental issues with him. So we'll see how much he plays in the CFL with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And can he stay healthy? And, you know, is he in football playing shape? It's been a couple years now. There's a lot of different question marks with him, but certainly the fact that he's playing football again is a big step. Who knows what the next step is or if there will even be a next step. But the fact that he is on a team and on a roster, it's better than what he was doing before. He actually said in his announcement, at least I have a job again. Yes, yes, a job is good. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see, this tweet comes from Cleveland. Here in Cleveland, it's a medium story. He says nationally, it's no story. I wouldn't agree with that. I mean, the fact that I'm mentioning it at all means that it is somewhat of a story. Now, did I know about it on vacation? I don't think I did. There's a lot of things I didn't, like the Robinson Cano suspension was something that really caught me off guard because I didn't know about it until a couple days later. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that happened while I was on vacation that I thought, what? The hockey I watched some of, a lot of it, though, I would kind of catch after the fact. Same thing that I did with the Preakness because I was driving. It was really nice to be disconnected, unplugged, and to have nothing to do with social media or to have to be on a schedule. I think that was my favorite part about vacation is that I didn't have to be on a schedule. I woke up, I did whatever I felt like doing. The only thing that was on the schedule was my date with Jack, which I did put the pictures up on Facebook. And there is a picture on Twitter as well from early in the week. The date with Jack was planned. And so I had to be ready on time. And it was totally worth it. So I'll let you check that out on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. And a lot of you are still guessing. I'm not going to tell you exactly where I was yet because I feel bad about spoiling it for the people who are still guessing what island I was on for vacation. No, it wasn't Hawaii because I drove 850 miles and took my dog with me. that's something you can do on Facebook or Twitter right now. Also, Ben has put up our Man Crush Monday poll, and it's a bit unique for a couple of reasons. So we have your typical entries, Steph Curry, who finally breaks out with this really big second half in game 3 against the Rockets. So 35 points, including the 18 in the third quarter, and his mom getting on him for dropping an F-bomb when he was out there on the court. So Steph Curry, that's an easy person to put in our poll. Marc-Andre Fleury, same thing. How many different guys from the Vegas Golden Knights have said along the way through their run to now the Stanley Cup final, but how many guys said it again last night when the Knights, or I guess it was yesterday afternoon, when the Knights eliminated the Jets? Marc-Andre Fleury, our best player. He's been our best player all along. He's the guy. He's the reason why we're here, why we're still standing, why we've now reached the Stanley Cup final in our inaugural season. Side note, it was actually Marc-Andre Fleury that told Derek Englund it was okay to touch the trophy. You know, that's a big superstition. I'm not superstitious. Are either one of you superstitious? Because I'm not at all. I couldn't care less about superstitions.
Generally not.
No, this is Ben.
This is Ben. I didn't touch the Stanley Cup, though, when I was near it. I had an opportunity to take a picture, and I refused to.
You're not a player.
I just...
You had an opportunity to hang on to the Stanley Cup, and you didn't touch it?
I put my arm around
it. I would have freaking kissed it.
No, gosh. You don't touch... Even if I'm not a player.
You're not a player!
As a hockey fan, I might have put, you know, the mush on my team for the rest of eternity, and I wouldn't be able to live with myself.
No, you have nothing to do with it. It's like the guy who won't change positions on the couch when his team is doing well. What do you have to do with it?
I do that during football season,
too.
Oh,
my God. So you are superstitious. I just asked if you were superstitious, and you said generally not.
It's a couple things.
Oh, I just rolled my eyes at you, which you can't see on the radio, but you should know if you know me. What about you?
See, I'm not superstitious.
This is Brian, by the way.
I root for the New York Rangers, who went 54 years without winning a championship. So I'd rather the teams not touch the trophy when they win the conference in hockey. I don't think this is a good sign.
But you would.
I would, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. I'd be hugging it, mugging with it. Like, hey, it's a silly cop! I mean, I don't generally do a lot of selfies. I did take a selfie with Jack, which you'll see on social media, but I would be all about leaving fingerprints on the Stanley Cup. Like, they're gonna let me touch that thing, I'd be all about it. How many opportunities in your life do you actually get to touch the Stanley Cup?
Not many.
Exactly, and you blew it. You blew it, Ben. So Marc-Andre Fleury, getting back to the story, Marc-Andre Fleury is not as superstitious as you, and neither is Derek Englund, because Fleury's the one that told Derek, pick up the trophy. So there they are in Winnipeg. You two are like, oh my gosh. There they are in Winnipeg, and they're getting the trophy for being the Western Conference champs. It has a name. It's not the Stanley Cup, obviously. But they're getting the trophy, and not only does England touch it, but he skates around with it. But you know who told them to do it? Flower. He said, wait for it, wait for it. Sidney Crosby touched the trophy, and he's won multiple Stanley Cups. So, I mean, how are you going to argue with that? If Marc-Andre Fleury's like, hey, Sidney Crosby did it, how are you going to argue with that, Ben? Try, go ahead.
I'm not, but just for the record, I just eye-rolled back when I heard about Sidney Crosby. Wasn't as good as yours, but I did eye-roll.
I mean, come on. If Sidney Crosby has no problem touching the hardware, and in his case, it was the Prince of Wales trophy, so it was the Eastern Conference trophy, he still won the Stanley Cup three times.
But did he do it the first time?
Why is the cup or the trophy too good for England to touch?
Did Sid do it the first time, though? That he ever won it? Because if he'd already won it, then go ahead and touch it.
That's how the rule goes.
Yeah, there's a big difference.
If you've already won it, then you can. So anybody who... Oh my gosh. And you started this whole conversation by saying I'm not actually superstitious.
Just a little.
Big fat liar. So yeah, good for you. So Fleury was the one that told him, go ahead and touch the cup. England was like, absolutely. Sidney Crosby did it. So can I. Maybe that's going to be the key for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. We've got a West Coast bias going on this Monday morning. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.